The Guardian.
Could you please tell us what you see as the alternative?
Hello and welcome to The Alternatives, our new and ultra-exciting podcast. It's called The Alternatives because, frankly, we need some. A decade on from the banking crash, the British economy still is in the middle of a massive productivity slump, in the middle of a massive squeeze on living standards, the likes of which we haven't seen since the Napoleonic Wars, and is experiencing its weakest recovery in something like three centuries.
The improvement we've been seeing in some of the survey data, the confidence measures, just isn't filtering through to the official economic growth measures to the extent that we expected and would have hoped.
So, I set myself this task. Where could I go to see people doing real world, actually existing alternatives to the British way of doing capitalism? And in the process, I came up with a whole bunch of ideas, some of which came from my previous reporting, some of which came from speaking to people for this project. But they range from everything, from councillors who do a lot more than the usual stereotype of just collecting the bins and translating the road signs, into thinking about how to restructure their entire local economy.
Congratulations.
I'm really sorry I'm late.
Well done.
In episode one of our podcast, I've got a bit of a treat for you. I'm talking to a guy called Matthew Brown.
Yeah.
Now, Matthew comes from Preston. He's lived there or around there for most of his life. And for something like 15 years now, he's been a councillor on the city council. Now, local government in British democracy is often little more than a punchline to a bad joke, because councils are often the most powerless form of government there is. Just think about the course of this decade.
I want to talk to you about the major changes we're making to our tax and welfare system this month.
George Osborne made the cuts, and he directed the brunt of them onto local government as one of his key departments.
Changes that are all about backing people like you.
So local councils have spent this entire decade watching their budget shrink year after year after year.
That's wrong.
But Matthew and the people at Preston City Council are doing things rather differently. They've started thinking about how to keep as much spending as possible, as close to home as possible, to stop what they call leakage down to London and the South East. They're starting to think about creating their own worker-owned businesses or cooperatives. And have started to think about how they could use the kind of experiments they're doing there and push them out across the rest of the country. It really is that revolutionary. Now, the thing to think about when you're listening to this interview is to bear in mind two things. First of all, during the day, when he's not doing this stuff for Preston City Council, Matthew actually has a day job. And his day job is what's called an administrative officer for the Department for Work and Pensions. So essentially, he's pushing through people's benefits claims. It's a clerical job. And yet in the evening, what he does is he goes away and has all these big thoughts about how to transform the city that he's grown up in and that he lives in. The other thing to bear in mind is that Matthew, although you'll hear him say that he's 45, actually looks a lot younger, and compared to the rest of the people that you often meet in local government, he comes across as a rather unconventional figure. I can't remember ever seeing him with both his shoelaces tied at the same time, and he's got this odd way, slightly abstracted way of thinking about big things, expressing them in demotic language, but actually having quite highly developed, sophisticated analysis about what he's doing and why he's doing it. So listen to what he says about the need for localization, for instance, and listen to what he says about how he wants to take these ideas and export them to places like Birmingham and Bristol. I think he's great. I hope you do too. Have a listen. Matt, for those who don't know Preston, never availed of its charms, what's it like?
It's a really friendly place, actually. It's very scenic. You know, it does have its challenges.
What are its challenges?
Well, the challenges is we've got austerity that's still with us. We've also got an economic system which isn't benefiting a lot of people, and that's what we're trying to change, you know.
When you talk about austerity or the failures of capitalism in a place like Preston, paint us a picture.
Oh, I'll give you an example. We kind of like been, in my opinion, quite dependent on a conventional approach until very recently, you know, because, you know, we did what a lot of other towns and cities did do. We kind of like pursued inward investment as a primary purpose. A lot of that was based around a lot of global developers, you know, and we did that until the crash came.
You were thinking about shopping malls, you were thinking about big developers coming in and doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the crash happens, and what happens then?
It's not dissimilar to a lot of other places, you know. And then obviously what happened, we had the crash, and then the main anchor store behind that development, it pulled out, you know.
Well, I think this is the bit which I'm going to give a little bit of context for listeners.
Preston's £750 million Tadbarn project was abandoned on the 3rd of November when the anchor store John Lewis pulled out.
The thing about Preston is actually it goes back hundreds of years. It goes back to Roman times, right? But when you talk to people like you or other people in the council in the city, actually the year they all pick upon is 2011, when I think the plan for this giant shopping mall that Preston had called Tadbarn just fell apart.
The project plan included retail and office space, as well as restaurants and a new multiplex cinema.
And you had big developers lined up to do it, and you had a big anchor store called John Lewis, which listeners may know, other anchor stores are available. And they suddenly said, well, we're not playing, we don't want to do this, we want to do other projects.
The future now remains uncertain for Preston City Centre.
And then what happened?
Well, we had to think again, didn't we? You know, but I mean, it was kind of like a situation in which we weren't doing anything that's that different to many other cities, as I said before, but people like myself, and it started before I got on the council, I just had my own private thoughts about it, thinking, well, you know, is this the best way to do it, relying on big business inward investment when we've got lots of wealth in our community anyway? So since then, we've thought again, and we've got this really fantastic set of policies which we're applying at a local level. So we've got, we're looking at what we have in Preston, and we're very blessed because we've got the headquarters of two councils, we've got a university, we've got a hospital, we've got a large cooperative housing association, 6,000 social properties. You know, we've got colleges. And what we've started doing is looking through the books of all these organisations, and we've changed the culture so they're buying more from local suppliers, you know. So we've shifted £75 million to local suppliers. And if you look at one of our construction companies that's family-owned, a lot of the subcontractors, you know, are very small companies within the community, you know, not owned by external shareholders, actually rooted within the community. So we've got that going on. We've got other policies around the pension fund investing locally, which is a huge amount of wealth within our community anyway, you know. Instead of investing overseas, it's invested a bit locally. And that has kind of like led to new developments, you know, which have created lots of jobs. And then on the more radical side of things, we're looking at setting up worker-owned businesses, especially where there's a gap in the local market. Because what we found is out of all this wealth that's leaking out of the Preston and Lancashire economy, there's gaps where we could potentially fill them. And we want to follow what they did in Cleveland with
Cleveland, Ohio,
yeah, with Ted Howard of the Democracy Collaborative. And we want to create worker-owned businesses. And we should have our first two or three this year, and that's going to be things around food, to supply, you know, initially it's going to be a cafe that's going to be linked to the local producers, but the idea is that we scale that up and it's going to bid for contracts from the local public sector. And then on top of that, it's IT. We're going to set up an IT co-op with university graduates, which again can supply the local public sector. And then after that, it's other things like there's quite an exciting movement towards community banking, similar to the banking that you have within Germany, you know, and we want one of them, you know, and we're trying to get our local public sector to, you know, invest in this bank.
You want a Bank of Preston?
A Bank of Lancashire, really, you know, because we need the sufficient scale to actually make it operational. So we need about £8 million. And, you know, all we need for that to happen, you know, I say all, but I mean, it's a lot simpler than people think. All we need to do is for people to shift some of their investment strategies, you know. So that's either ourselves or the councils or the universities within Lancashire and invest in a bank. Because what's happening in Lancashire is that our people in our community are putting in all the money into the big main banks that are actually disappearing from our high streets, and that wealth is leaking out of the economy and it's going to external shareholders, often who don't pay the taxes. So this is kind of like quite a radical way of doing things, but it's very common sense. And the irony of this is it tends to have a lot of support from a number of political parties, you know. I mean, I think it's very, very, very well entrenched within the radical socialist tradition, but, you know, interestingly, a lot of these ideas have support from liberals and conservatives. And okay. It's a similar response you get in a lot of American cities, because they have been devastated by the economic crash of 10 years ago as well.
The NASDAQ opens everything. They are down 110 points on the NASDAQ. Yeah. So that opens everything simultaneously. So that was the extent of the futures decline.
Yes.
And a little bit more.
What's interesting...
There you are, in this city that's following, as you say, a pretty conventional path, getting in the big developers, thinking about shopping, all this other stuff, and then the crash comes. And where are you at this point? Are you on the council?
Yes, I was on in 2002, so I've been on for quite 15 years now.
15 years. And you're a Preston local. You were always raised nearby, and then you've studied
nearby,
in the city.
Yeah, studied the city, yeah. And, I mean, I was 30 when I was elected to the council, you know, so I was finding my way, but I always had these ideas, you know, because my inspiration was seeing Tony Benn when I was a teenager on Question Time. And I thought, well, and you've got to remember, when I was a teenager, you had Thatcherism, so it's all about materialism and a certain amount of selfishness around at the time, which we just didn't have before when I was growing up, you know. And I thought, this guy says something I believe in, to be honest, you know. It could have been also a Catholic upbringing I had, because I'm not particularly religious now. But I think it does instill a sense of what's right and what's wrong.
Social justice is... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got these independent ideas. And then how do they turn into this platform for transforming Preston? Talk me through that process.
Well, the thing is, within the cabinet, I'm lucky to be given a job where I can be really, really creative, right? So there was a lot of debate about how to do things, right? So in 2013, I think we signed a city deal, which is more conventional with the government. But
this is one of George Osborne's city deals.
Yeah, and well, Nick Clegg as well. Mm. But within that, there's actually some things which are really good, like, you know, the pension fund investing locally and things like that. And we're one of very few pension funds that does that, you know. So that huge amount of wealth, you know, the pension funds made a decision to invest in Preston and nearby in South Ribble. So we had that going on. But then at the same time, one of our officers went to this event by CLES, Centre for Local Economic Strategies, who we get on with extremely well, have been a fantastic partner. And we came across a guy called Ted Howard.
So I bring you greetings from the United States.
And what Ted was doing in America was saying, well, you know, whether you're in Cleveland or wherever, there's still this systemic issue with the economy.
The trends in the United States have been bad for a long time.
Because in Cleveland, they had a situation in which in the 50s you had, you know, a fantastic manufacturing industry. They produced cars and all the rest of it. I think it was called Motor City and all that stuff. And then the corporations just disappeared from the area. So they're left with very little.
And yet, compared to 21 OECD countries, the United States ranks last in virtually every ranking category.
So there's that disinvestment, and those decisions were not being made by people within Cleveland. They were being made by external investors elsewhere, you know. So they decided to go on a different strategy, which was to look at what they have already, which is the anchor institution. So it's things like museums, hospitals, universities like we have here, and try to look at leveraging all the strategies from those institutions. So they've shifted a lot of money to local suppliers, but the really fascinating thing is the public sector buying worker-owned businesses. And we're trying to do that here in Preston because, you know, you won't get a worker-owned business that'll get up and leave, because if there's 10 or 20 people working in a worker co-op, you know, all 10 and 20 have to vote to relocate, and they're just not going to do that.
You got into Parliament as a Labour member. Every office you held was because of the Labour Party. Cabinet minister, appointed by a Labour Prime Minister, and then you left the party. Now, that's a cancerous growth. Not personally, but I think people who betray those who gave them power are the real threat, and I must say that bluntly to you, because I think that's...
Okay, so let me try and tie these things together. There's you. 14, did you tell me? You told me this before when I came up to see you. You were 14, you watched Question Time, you saw Tony Benn.
I might have been 15.
precocious, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And suddenly you were thinking about a different way of running things against the background of Thatcherism. Then comes a crash, and you're a councillor, and these ideas come to you from America via the Centre for Local Economic Strategies. And then what happens?
After that, Ted came over a couple of times, but we engaged with CLES, you know, Neil McEnroy, Matt Jackson, and we visited the heads of the local public sector, you know. So we went round to the,
You went to the Housing Association,
yeah.
Police Force?
Police Force, the County Council.
And then the university.
the university later. There's a few others that have joined us. And what's really fascinating, I mean, I never thought procurement could be so interesting, to be honest, but what is quite fascinating about it is you see how much wealth there is in these institutions. And what was and I apologise if I get this wrong, but what was the impression was that they were spending all these hundreds of millions and they weren't even going for the books and looking, well, where are we buying it from? Are we buying it from Preston-based suppliers? You know, and are we getting a living wage and social value and stuff like that, which came into it later? You know, so that is where this £75 million has actually gone back into the Preston economy from money that's there anyway. And that's in a backdrop of cuts. Do you know what I mean?
So it comes down to the power of procurement. What Matthew and his team did was go to the housing association, the city council, the county council, the police force, in total six big public bodies in their own backyard, and said to them, you know, next time you get your cleaning services done for you, why not, instead of giving that to a firm based in London, why not give that to a local firm? And what's surprising about this is that all six of those big public entities signed up, which means that more and more money is kept within Preston and Lancashire. The inspiration for this actually comes from America, from a place called Cleveland, Ohio, which is very similar in many ways to a lot of British cities. Most of the industry's left, pretty run down, and the way it decided to turn itself around was by getting local businesses and local philanthropists to try and keep their money local. Now, Britain doesn't have much of a kind of culture of philanthropy, but what we do have is a big public sector, especially in these deindustrialised places, and that's where Matthew and his team turned. It doesn't sound difficult. In fact, it's really quite simple. But it actually involves a complete change of mindset for people involved in procurement, because what they typically do when they're ordering up a batch of pens is they think about cost and they think about quality, and they don't really think about the social and environmental consequences of what they're doing. And it took Matthew and his team to go to them and say, look, you're a housing association based in this locality. What if we would say to you that there's a way of getting your own residents to be more prosperous and perhaps get their rent to you on time? And it's by joining up to his scheme, by keeping more money locally. But what you need is someone to change the mindset. You need someone like Matthew. If you want to do the roll call achievements,
yeah,
let me give you a minute to go for your life. Go on.
Well, I mean, I'd say it's that amount of money that's been repatriated. It's been the first living wage employer in the north of England in 2012 accredited. And around this local repatriation, you know, we've got a situation in which we're now the best authority within Lancashire out of 14 districts for people receiving the living wage, which is fantastic. So I think the average in Lancashire is about 27% of people receiving less than living wage. We're down at about 18%, you know. And these policies definitely helped.
Preston's historically been an area of high inequality, and also it's had patches of multiple deprivation.
Yeah.
And I saw some of that when I came up to see you before Christmas. How has what you're doing helped that?
Well, I mean, we're a very public sector-led town, you see. So obviously, the public sector, a lot of people are employed in the public sector. Public sector are spending that much locally, it's going to have a huge impact. So a lot of the businesses, they're in our deprived areas, you know, that these contracts are going to now. Do you know what I mean? You know, so a lot of people getting opportunities there. So that's helped. You know, we've also got things like a financial inclusion strategy. So we support a new credit union. We support a food co-op.
Credit union's been running for 2 years now?
2 years. We've got about 600 members nearly.
600?
Yeah, which is pretty good, you know. It's not huge compared to places like Ireland, but it's pretty good. And we want to expand that further. We support things like, a food co-op for cheap food. You know, we support what's known as the CDFI, which is a Community Development Financial Institution, which again is a not-for-profit cooperative. And they lend to local businesses, they lend to people, you know. And it all comes back to this systemic problem we have, because if you put all these ideas together, you can have quite a transformative economy at a local level. And if a number of towns and cities start doing it, it's really exciting.
And is that what you want?
Yeah. That is what... Well, I mean, obviously, I've got to concentrate on Preston first, but like we've seen in America, these ideas are spreading. Places like Barcelona in Europe, you know, people have had enough of austerity and they've had enough of neoliberalism. They want an alternative.
Let me play this game with you. Today we take Preston, tomorrow we are where in Britain? Where else do you think is fertile, is ready for this kind of transformation?
I think anywhere, you know, could do it. I think Birmingham, you know, I think there's ideas in Birmingham. I think Oldham, you know, are looking at it. Rochdale are looking at these kind of things. They're the home of the cooperative movement. London, Bristol. Bristol's got a very radical tradition. I really hope that we can get lots of replication of these ideas, you know. Because Imagine if every Labour city is doing things like setting up their own council-owned energy company, setting up their own banks, supporting worker-owned businesses, supporting credit unions, you know, working with the trade union movement to get the pension fund to invest in things like social and affordable housing and even renewable energy networks. Because you go to Holland, I think, and I think 40% of public sector pension funds are invested in property.
You kind of brush past a really important point, which is, actually, as well as austerity, this has also been a decade of devolution. And George Oswald, when he was Chancellor, used to talk a lot about Northern Powerhouse, about city deals. Nick Clegg did, as you said. We've seen a kind of rash of elected mayors from Birmingham, Manchester, and so on and so forth. That all looks like devolution. But what is it? How is it that you're going much further than they are? And actually, how would you tease out the differences for people who think, hang on, isn't that all just localism?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a view that I have some sympathy with, not 100% sympathy with, that what's happening is we're being devolved the cults as Labour authorities, you know. Real devolution is we're empowered, both financially and with powers from government, to make choices like we want. So, for example, if we, like, I think Berlin, wanted to bring the water supply back into municipal ownership, would the government give us the powers to do that? Not sure they would, you know. A lot of American cities, they have powers to set higher minimum wages, you know. Not saying we should do that, but that's a power that they have, say Seattle.
And at regional level, they can set taxes as well.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
something you'd like for Lancashire?
I think we need to have a debate about this, because what we need to not do is make sure that, because a lot of deprived areas benefit from central government funding, but, you know, we should be able to do more, you know, through, I mean, if you elect a Labour local authority or Metro Mayor or even a Conservative one or a Liberal one, you know, they should have policy ideas which you can implement, you know, or not be in some kind of narrow straitjacket of what can and cannot be done.
This might sound like an odd thing to say. After all, we're meant to be living in an era of the Northern Powerhouse, of local devolution, of Metro Mayors. But what Matthew's saying is, actually the powers that those people have got and that those arms of government have got are very, very small, and that most of the power, most initiative remains down in Westminster and Whitehall.
You've used the word experiment about it.
Now, the first thing people say when they talk about Preston these days is they refer to something called a Preston model. But is it really a model? Or is it an experiment?
I don't want to be evasive, but I think it's both. I do honestly think it's both, because...
That is evasive.
It is an experiment, isn't it? Because what we're doing is something very new and very different, and something that's really pushing things to the margin. So that's the experiment, but it's also a model in that these ideas are beginning to work now, and we have evidence. We've got evidence from the Office for National Statistics, we've got evidence from Social Mobility Index that these policies are contributing. You know, it's not all down to these, but they're making a big difference towards making lives better for people.
And ensure that we have a government in Britain on June the 8th that will work for the many, not the few.
Locally, we do very well as a Labour group, but it does fit in very well with the current thinking of the current Labour leadership, because a lot of the ideas we're trying to implement at a local level are very similar to the National Manifesto.
Let me stop you there, because the second thing that people say about Preston is they say, oh, it's Corbynomics in miniature.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, if we had a Labour government and we had Jeremy Corbyn as Prime Minister, I want it to happen much sooner than later. But what we would have with that is we'd have the resources and the powers to take this a lot further, especially around things like worker co-ops, you know, and these other ideas around bringing more democracy to the economy. So it's not really Jeremy Corbyn's town in the sense that we're doing it on the cheap, or we're trying to do it on the cheap, you know, but it is within that tradition.
Okay, so listen, you've given us a sales pitch, but let me put one other criticism to you. You said you want every Labour city to do that. But what you're talking about is a form of protectionism. And if every Labour city did it, if every big part of Britain did it, then actually that wouldn't be too good for our national economy, would it?
A big part of this is, I mean, obviously you've done the stuff around Carillion recently. You've reported on that.
Well, look, this is an extraordinary mess.
A big part of that is... I think Ed Miliband said this at one of our conferences. What you're doing is you're shifting this wealth from the public sector from capital to labour. So instead of going to big corporations, it's going to local businesses and things like cooperatives.
I mean, the only easy thing we can say here is that shareholders completely wiped out.
Up here in the north, I mean, the majority of the economic activity, sorry, not majority, about 40%, is down in the southeast, you know.
Yeah.
So there's that side to it as well.
So you're looking at money which is actually trickling down to London and southeast. And yeah, possibly then going offshore into tax havens or whatever.
Potentially, but even in London, you know, I'm sure that there's lots of, you know, grassroots enterprises that don't have the opportunity to get public sector contracts.
Will they end up on the government's balance sheet in the public purse? Will this be a form of nationalisation in some ways? It looks a little like that, although the government is pushing back against that suggestion. What happens to the pensioners? We still don't know for certain.
Well, let me ask you the other thing that I wanted, the other kind of slight niggle that I've had ever since coming up to Preston, actually, is you've talked a lot about public sector. And I understand that, because if you walk around Preston, what you see is a load of public sector institutions. The university is huge. Obviously, you come out of the train station, there's Lancashire County Council on the left as you come out. And then there's Preston Council and there's hospitals and so on. But there's also Fishergate and there's all those retail businesses and there is a lot of private businesses. And I wonder, what would it take is, in a way... And this isn't to take away from anything you've done, because it's remarkable, and that's why I've written about it for the paper. But in a way, it almost strikes me that you've done the easy part of going to the public sector and roping them in into this project. When are you going to turn on the private sector and say to them, look, for instance, the firms that you get to do your building work now, do you compel them to pay living wages to their staff?
If it's a service contract, yes, and it's on our premises, yeah. But what we're doing...
So what about the people who are doing the building that you talked about for your covered market?
So they do pay it, and they encourage it through their own subcontractors. And then through Social Value Act, which is a quite useful piece of legislation, all-party legislation as well, you know, you can wait contracts that have these things, you know, and they do have a little bit of an advantage, you know. But it's all going to be done through fair and open competition. But... as for the private sector...
But you know what? I mean, you've got all these chains up and down your high street. You've got your Smiths, you've got your Next, you know, Marks and Sparks. When are you going to turn around to them and say, well, what are you going to do for us?
It's a good question. Yeah. We're not really involved them in it that much, but the whole concept of an anchor institution is that it's something that's not going to get up and leave. And when we had the 2008 recession, you know, I'm not saying this in an anti-business way, but when we had the 2008 recession, there was a huge amount of corporate brands on the high street that just disappeared. You know what I mean? And maybe, you know...
Banks in your own ward have all gone, haven't they?
We just don't have one now, you know, and that's why we've got a credit union. I'm glad we have, you know. But that's what happened. That was the reality of what happened. They all disappeared, or a lot of them disappeared from the high street. Woolworths, quite a few, it's a long, going back a long time now, but quite a few of them did disappear, you know. BHS has gone, you know, that's now empty in our high street, you know. So the whole idea is through these strategies, you've got a democratic economy, you've got a localised economy, and the wealth spread around a bit more. And it's done by what you have already instead of expecting investors from outside to make the decisions. And that's where I think we've been going wrong in local government, because a lot of it's been about just trying to just acquiesce to what outside investors are thinking and doing. Now, there's got to be a bit of that, but you've got to have some kind of creativity and strategy yourself.
I'm going to ask you one last thing, and this is after all the highfalutin talk you've given me about democratising our economy and all the rest of that. Just tell me, end on you and where you go from here. How old are you now?
I'm 45.
You've been in Preston, working local government level for... 15 years or so?
Yeah.
Right. You've already put into place this remarkable plan to transform press, and it is remarkable. But then what happens to your own political career? Do you want to stay in Preston? Do you want to go down to Westminster? Do you want to, end up pushing what you've done in Preston into other places?
Well, for the time being, I'm very happy to stop in Preston because I'm a very bad careerist, to be honest, you know what I mean? What makes me happy is seeing things get better in my community, you know, so figures around people receiving the living wage and joining the credit union and, you know, those contracts being repatriated. That's what really sort of makes me happy for the time being, you know. But I
for the time being, these are wheezy words from a politician. You are a politician at the end of the day.
Yeah, I am, but I wouldn't say I'm a particularly conventional one, to be honest. But I just want to use the powers I have to make things better. But I do have an itch to spread these ideas around. And these are, I think it's happening already, you know.
And what does an itch mean? Where do you want to go?
I just think these ideas are fantastic. And I think as a community, we've got to encourage these ideas, you know, in every city, you know. You know, I want to spend some time doing that. And how that's going to be done, I don't know. You know what I mean? Maybe I could do a bit of work with the think tank or something like that, you know. I think something like that would be really good.
Okay, so it's more than just socialism within one municipality.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
Well, if you're interested in what you heard from Matthew, read up more in my piece in the paper, which you can find online. And if you want to see or hear more, we're actually holding a membership event in Preston in March. So do look out for that on the website. And if you want to contact me and you've got ideas for various topics or places that I ought to be going, why not email me at The Guardian at thealternatives@theguardian.com.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.